you guys have your New Zealand coffee. Yeah. It's good, right? They're so good with the coffee.
Did you really drink that when you were down there?
New Zealand coffee? Yeah. Absolutely.
So good.
How are you doing?
Good, how are you?
Good to see you guys.
Okay. How was about this project? They got your attention. What's so fantastic?
Thank you. It's a children's film. And this is the first time I've been saying. I realize that I'm like, this is the first time I've been able to play a mother, and then I realized Hilly Holbrook was a mom, but I don't think she really counts. But yeah, I mean, it was such a. I just saw it a couple of days ago. I'd seen an older cut, but I saw kind of like the final version a couple of days ago with my husband, and it was such a kind of. I don't know. It was very emotional for me seeing kind of just, you know, yeah, me in a mom role. And my husband gave me this really good advice early on, because I kept saying, like, I don't want to overcomplicate things, because this is a children's film. And you know, whenever I was a kid and I would watch children's films, and then it would get to kind of like a scene with two adults talking, I would just be like, just get to the dragon. Like, where's the dragon? And so that was something that I was kind of aware of. And then he said, and yet I was like, you know, who is this woman? What is she like? And he was like, it's really simple, babe. Just you talk to, like, you are with Pete the way that you are with the kids. Like, that's, you know, this is her son. You know, we don't realize that when they first meet each other, but this is her son, and you know, and she's going to be his mother. And so that's how you should speak.
You're now part of two classic stories and movies, right?
You got with reptiles that start with D.
So what was the biggest difference between, like, Jurassic Park and, you know, Pete's Dragon?
I mean, it was hilarious, because while I made this pretty soon, only a few months after I finished Jurassic, and I kept messing up. Like, when I was on set, I would just be like, okay, so where's the raptor? Where's the dinosaur? And I'm like, oh, dragon! And I'm sure, like, we're going to be shooting the next Jurassic, and I'll probably be referring to them as dragons. But I mean, it's in my mind, they were two very different films, obviously, and the tones are really different. And this is, I think for this one, the thing that I just kept thinking about and considering was just that, you know, in the kind of like the like Disney's like canon of work, like the Disney legacy, and like how Disney has been of service to children because of the kinds of stories that they tell. I mean, that was something that I was really, really cognizant of. Whereas obviously with Jurassic World, it's, you know, it's the legacy of Michael Crichton, of Steven Spielberg. You know, it's like, you want to honor their legacy. So I guess you kind of look at it's not that Disney's the author of it, but it is, like, you need to be aware of that, because that brand represents something. So I think that was kind of the two kind of grounding parts for both.
And speaking of that, I read that Pete's Dragon was, like, one of your favorite movies as a child.
Yeah.
Comparing this film to that film,
which you can't.
Is there anything from the original film that you see in this film that was actually, you know, maybe kind of homage to
the original Pete's Dragon?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, the title, of course.
Something in the film that they basically you recognize as kind of like a throwback to the original.
You know what? I think there were no throwbacks intentionally, other than kind of what was at the genesis of this idea, which is that it's about a boy who's orphaned, mm-hmm. whose family, in essence, is a dragon. You know, it's his best friend. And no one believes that that dragon exists, and then we come to see that, you know, magic is actually possible. And you know, it's a story about what it takes to find your family. And I think that thematically is very, obviously very similar to the first film. But this really was, like, it's not even, like, inspired by, you know, it's
completely original.
Yeah, it is really an original film that's not meant to step on the memories of, you know, the 1977 version of Pete's Dragon. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think for all of us, that's what I was left with when I saw it a couple days ago. Like, that's going to be the tricky thing, like in kind of introducing this you know, this movie, you know, to folks. How do we kind of mention that, but also that it doesn't become all about that, because it is, you know, it's meant to be something that's complementary, but it is something that's standalone.
There's no animated dancing dragon.
Right, yeah. Right. Something interesting about the first was that was really, with the first, it was really kind of an exercise in technology. Mm-hmm. It was the first time that there could, I actually shouldn't say if it was the first time, because I don't know if it was really, really the first time, but it was an early example of, you know, having an animated character in a live action film.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, you're right. You're totally right. Yeah, exactly. I went to go put Mary Poppins on the other day, and my daughter went, "Is this the one about the mean nanny?" And I was like, "What? What are you talking about? No.
My daughter thinks she's mean too.
Oh my gosh! I was like, oh man, maybe I'm a softie. Well, you need to do some more chores, girl.
And then she read the sequel, my daughter, and she thought she was even meaner in the sequel.
Really? Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So it's. So I think just to, you know, this is a stretch here, but also this is a live action film, you know, that obviously that integrates, you know, the technology of having essentially an animated character. But you know, those are, yeah, they're very different films.
Can you talk a little bit more about acting opposite something that's not there, which you've done a bunch of times at this point?
Yeah, I guess that's like my, like, I should write that in my special skills. Can act opposite nothing. Or thinks she can act opposite nothing. But, I mean, what's cool is that, I mean, it's with the, you know, with technology, as you guys know, like, it's changing so rapidly. And so, even, you know, there were different things between shooting Jurassic World and this that were, you know, simply just different techniques and ways to kind of create that realism on set while also making sure that everybody got everything that they needed in order to kind of build this, you know, fantastical creature in post, you know, with using visual effects. And what we had, you know, like those like jumpy castles, how you like, it's just like plastic and then you like blow them up and it's something. So we had the equivalent of that for I was just about to say dinosaur, for a dragon. For a dragon. So we had like a big, like 15-foot tall blown up version of Elliot that would only take like 5 minutes to blow up. And so in a lot of the scenes in particular where Oaks was there or Una was there or whatever, we would have, you know, the dragon there just as a reference point, so that we wouldn't have to be constantly saying like, oh wait, is it that leaf that we're looking at or that one over there? And that was enormously helpful.
Better than a tennis ball.
Yeah.
To piggyback off that, the scene where you first see Elliot and you just cry happy tears, what were you thinking in that scene? Because that's the one that, yes, Elliot's CG, and yes, we all love the look of it, but your face in that scene sold Elliot as being real to me.
Oh my goodness, thank you. Okay. You know what? I'm going to try to do this better than I just did a phone interview, and someone asked that same exact thing, and then I gave a 15-minute answer, so I'll try to truncate this.
Okay.
So it's this really weird kind of magical thing happens where, like, obviously you're pretending and, you know, you're not seeing anybody. But then, like, I saw the film, like I said, a couple days ago. And now all of a sudden all my memories of shooting is exactly what I saw in the movie. So I think it's like when you're doing it, you're just, you know, it's like a kid. Like your memories of, like, all of us played in the backyard and we pretended. Like our memories of it, we understand that what we're recalling is not, like, we don't actually see, like, the kingdom or, like, you know, the horse or whatever it is that we're, like, playing with. But when you remember it a little bit as if you were seeing it. It's, like, the experience of seeing it. And then if someone showed you, like, a video of your childhood and they were, like, everything was actually there, you would instantly kind of, like, transplant that memory. So, anyway, this is a very complicated way of saying, like, I kind of, that's, like, my whole job.
Yeah.
It's, like, my entire job. What I will say is in that location, there was like a very serious bug situation happening, and two bugs crawled into my eyes.
Oh.
And died there. Oh. And they're still in my body. Tiny, tiny, tiny little bugs. So, I mean, this is not true, but I could say I was crying because I was like, whoa, whoa. Literally between every single take, all of us were just like, okay, so yeah, what's the direction? That sounds no joke. No joke. Yeah.
What was it like working with the kids? You seem like you developed a bond.
Yeah, they're awesome. Have you guys talked with them yet?
Yeah, yeah,
any of them?
Yeah.
They're just, they're the best. I mean, it's, yeah, it, I feel like they say, like, don't work with children and animals, like, I think, yes, maybe sometimes animals can, you know, it's a little unpredictable and everything, but every experience that I've had working with kids has been so calm and relaxed and focused and inspiring. And it's, I mean, and these kids in particular, they're like, not kids, they're many times I would ask Oaks and Una for advice, like if I was trying to figure something out, I'd just be like, guys, what should I do? And they would always have the best suggestions. And Oaks is like going to be a little filmmaker. Yeah. And Una's going to be president, so that's awesome. Yeah.
Did you get to see any like images, like, you know, images of what Pete was going to look, so that could help you? Like,
yes. Okay. Yes. And that was really cool. We actually, so we shot this in New Zealand, and before we started shooting, David and Jim, the producer, I don't know if you guys met Jim Whitaker, they arranged for us to go to Peter Jackson's screening room and see what Weta was doing in terms of Elliot, so that we could kind of know what, yeah, that, like, he was furry, he didn't have scales, you know, stuff like that, and to get a sense of his playfulness, and that he kind of looked like a big puppy dog, and so that was important, so that we had obviously a sense of what he was going to be like. That's why I feel like when I remember doing it, I'm like, I was seeing him, but I think in part it's because they did show us him early on.
Did he look the way you expected him to look?
Well, like from the first time I saw him, no. I was like, it's Valcor.
Yeah.
Totally. Yeah.
Being part of a film that has such a history, you know, several generations grew up with Pete's Dragon, what kind of feedback did you get when the announcement was done that you were going to be part of this, like from people or peers, like what kind of feedback were they like?
My sister cried because we were so into Pete's Dragon. And then it was that kind of like complicated moment where I'm like, well, but it's not a remake, it's a reimagining. Let me describe what a reimagining is and what it is not. But yeah, it's a lot of, I really wonder what it's going to be for kind of like my kids' generation, because I think for us, it's like, you know, that we like love the original movie. And like the original movie, I feel like, it's a little bit of a cult following, because it's not like it was super mainstream, you know, so it's like all of us that had like the Ratty Tatty VHS copy, you know, we were really into it. So I think that it'll be really interesting to kind of see the two different perceptions of it.
I felt it was kind of like this generation's E.T. That was my reaction.
Listen, you say it, not me. Okay. That's cool. <Yeah. laughs> I'll take it. write that. Have that be the headline.
The biggest movie ever in your
life. Yeah, this generation's E.T. Okay. If you insist.
Along with Pete's Dragon being one of your favorite as a youngster, and having your background with your dad, how much of your childhood was fantasy and reality?
A lot. And my parents sold our like childhood home a year ago or something, and so I've just started getting like the boxes that they've sent off to like all their adult children and of like all my childhood memorabilia. And I had an even more fantastical inner life than I recalled, because I got all my journals and scrapbooks and just, you know, all the kind of stuff that I would that sort of documented my childhood. And I was kind of an introverted kid, and my favorite thing was to go out into my backyard. I was raised in Connecticut and just kind of run around, and like a big part, like this happened for years, I was really into The Last Unicorn, and just It was like every day I was being chased by the Red Bull. Like, it was like the Red Bull was chasing me again. So yes, yeah.
My next dog's name is Smedrick.
Yes, yeah. So, so it's just, and I think also the fact that, like, growing up in a situation where I got to be on movie sets and everything and, like, try on Madison's, like, fishtail from Splash and, like, the alien from the cocoon, you know, masks and stuff. Like, you know, that helped out a lot, so.
Do you turn to your dad for advice when you're working on a film?
Yes, and, well, not, yes and no, like, sometimes. Like, this morning I was driving to work and he called me and, like, this is work. I was driving here. And he called me and I was just like, you know, what do you think about this? What do you think about that? And so, you know, and he gave me some, like, he said some good things and all that. But it's never, I like, always forget to have, like, official conversations with him. Like, you know, can you teach me about blah, blah, blah? Mm-hmm. He taught me one thing that was very helpful that I still struggle to understand is he sat down and explained to me about crossing the line. Do you guys know what I'm talking about with filmmaking?
180?
Yeah, like you have to make sure that you're, yeah, it's even hard to describe. But so like those kinds of things, he's, you know, he gives good advice on. He mostly gives excellent advice with family and like raising kids and sort of with the balance of it all. And, you know, he's got a unique insight into that, so, yeah.
Huh. What is it like to work with Robert Redford?
The best. Gosh, it's crazy. I'm sure you guys have all probably met him in some.
I'm first,
yes. But he's here. Yeah, I haven't seen him yet. I mean, he's just like, it's crazy because he's like this regular, like very cool, awesome guy that you would want to like work with him every single day. And it's a relaxing experience. It's not intimidating and all of that. And then there's this other side where it's like
laid back cowboy.
Yeah, he's like a laid back cowboy. But then there's this other side where you're like, you're the greatest like entertainment entrepreneur of all time. Like you created like, you know, Sundance and you're an iconic like actor and director and producer. I mean, it's just, he's an exceptional human being, and so yeah, it's like this huge privilege to be in his presence. But then he's also like, he's like a cool dude to chill with as well. So
you guys have such a great dynamic on camera. Like, aww, I love the way he delivered the line. He's like, "Well, you missed the kid," you know?
Oh, yeah, wasn't he amazing?
That was amazing.
Yeah. And even his monologue about like seeing the again, I was about to say dinosaur, seeing the dragon for the first time. Yeah. Wasn't that powerful? Yeah. It was like disarmingly powerful. Like he's just effortless. It was good. It was good. You know, it's like one of those things.
So he's going to appear in Jurassic World sequel.
He's a great. He signed an exclusive contract with me. Yes. Yes, okay, so I did...
Sorry to jump
off. No, sure. Listen, as long as it's about me, then it's all good. I did an episode of Black Mirror, which is a British television show that's on Netflix now, directed by Joe Wright, which is awesome, very cool. So I finished that, and that's going to be coming out this year. And then I also did a film called Gold that Stephen Gagan directed opposite Matthew McConaughey. So, and that'll, I think, also come out this year. So, and then I'm unemployed. help me out.
I have to ask, if we don't, somebody will do it later on. Did it feel good not to wear heels in this film?
It felt so good. I ran so much faster.
You did a pretty good job in dress.
Yeah. Thank you. Oh man, yeah, no, it felt very good. Well, it's an example of, you know, that was a character at home in a corporate environment, and this is a character at home in the woods.
So on that note, why do you think people were okay with like seeing dinosaurs on screen, but you couldn't run in heels?
Oh my gosh, that, I've never heard it phrased that way, and I think that's very insightful. Yeah. I know. Yeah, exactly.
Last question.
What do you hope families take away from this movie? What messages or what?
I think it's the power of family, and I think it's the magic of family. You know, the miracle of family, honestly. Ooh, I'll get a little emotional. But that's what I think it is. Mm-hmm. You know, the magic that is, you know, a family.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
All right.
Thank you guys.
Thank you. There's
a party in here.
Oh, gosh, I'm
at
the end.
I know.
Oh, man. Have a good
day.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you guys so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.